B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Oh, good afternoon, buddy. Mike Mustaine's show on a Wednesday. Well, that means it's General Knowledge Wednesday, and we have a great prize today. Anyway, we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Followed the Sean Jackson thing going on a little bit, but I had a theory yesterday they probably are trying to figure out a way not to suspend him. And there are reasons for that, not the least of which is they didn't suspend Riley Cooper. But there is a climate now that they have to be careful about that's going to give a negative reaction public relations-wise to that. So I figured that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman met and said, you know what, we don't really like this, but we're going to shine more of a bad light on it if we discipline them and suspend them. Because you saw the poll yesterday. We had 40% of the people saying that, you know, let's move on with it. And it didn't bother them at all. So I think that they're thinking they can slide out of any kind of a suspension with crafty methodology, like education. And so now they've got a meeting with a rabbi, and I know Michael Rubin was involved in that. And rabbi's name is Daniel Grodnitsky of Chabad Young Philly, to get a better understanding. So I think that covers them a little bit. Now, we can look at it like he definitely should be suspended. If you say anything in this climate, you should be suspended. But you got to understand that where he's coming from is a different climate, because he's already in a climate, right? And this goes back to, like, I got a lot of feedback from people saying, well, how come the standards are different? How come, like, black players aren't coming out and condemning them? Now, if you think, you know the answer to that. I think if you think hard enough, you know what the answer would be. The Black Lives Matter issue is a current issue. It's a current movement. It's a current fight. So these players are looking at it like, we can't be in this fight and criticize any of our players who are also in the fight. Now, you might not think that's right, and you may think it's wrong, but it happens to be the reality of the situation. Now, if I was a black man and I was involved in a Black Lives Matter fight, I wouldn't want to chastise one of my fellow guys in the fight. It's just the way I would handle it. And I'm sure that that's their thinking. It doesn't mean that they don't think DeSean Jackson's wrong. And so this whole thing has to be handled in a very delicate way. So I think Jeffrey Lurie is going to handle it in a way where he satisfies the public thirst to chastise DeSean Jackson, but in a more productive way where he introduces education, just like sensitivity training. So whether you think that's the right thing to do or not, I think the majority of people do think it's the right thing for one reason. Sean Jackson is an important player. If it was somebody else, you probably wouldn't think so, which exposes kind of our hypocrisy a little bit. And I admit it. You know, yesterday I said, I feel like a hypocrite because I don't feel the same way about this situation if I were as an Eagle fan than the Riley Cooper situation. This is a more important player, and we always have to take that into consideration. Do we realize that we have a sliding scale when it comes to athletes? I don't know. I do. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but that 40% vote yesterday was kind of a reflection of the sliding scale that you have for players who are important, more important than others. Now, am I like going down the wrong path here, Tyrone?
No.
Should we be ashamed of that?
Yes.
We should.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, because there, no doubt about it, DeSean Jackson is/was wrong.
Yes.
That's just like a statement of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Statement of fact is that there should be some form of restitution, punishment, something when you do something as wrong as DeSean Jackson did.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a lesser player, we'd be very happy cutting him. Like, let's say this was just last year in Aguilar. Not that Aguilar would ever do anything like this. He's a smart guy. We would kick him out of the city merrily. because we didn't like him.
Yes.
So, but because DeSean could help them win, 40% say nothing at all, and very few people say straight up release him. Versus a lesser player, we would say it'd be 90-10, cut Aguilar. And he wasn't even as bad as some other guys. If it had been a Bryce Treggs level type guy, you know, one of those camp warriors, we would kick him out with notes. So, but it's still what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. So we should be a little bit ashamed of our own hypocrisy. Yes, it's real, but I think we shouldn't be proud of it.
How do we get around it, though? Because the bottom line is we follow sports because we think we have some pride in a team that can win. Right? That's why we follow it. We every year we come into a season, we go, can they win? And you look at the Eagles, they go, well, yeah, they look like they're in the hunt for a division. And we don't want to mess anything up like that. So it's like we are helpless to stand up against a sliding scale. We're just too weak as fans to do that.
And what's tough is, well, let me ask you, Mike, you're a man with wisdom. So I can ask you this question because I know I can't answer it. How important should winning really be? What I mean is DeSean Jackson said something anti-Semitic, and it's wrong, period. Like, that's a fact. Like, no one's trying to dodge that. But at the same time, we want to win. But is winning with the guy, let's say it was something a little worse or a little worse. Like, what's the line for us as fans? Like, how much should winning really matter to us? Because it can't be win at every and all cost, can it?
Well, depending on what you mean by all costs, but winning is the essence of why you are a fan. It's just like you're the consumer, right? Now, you're not in it because you just want to see the activity.
No.
You're in it because you want some kind of personal pride that your team wins something and is considered among the best. It's why you buy a certain product. You buy a certain product. Why? Because that tastes better than this other product.
Yeah.
So you don't buy that other product. It's a product. They put it out. They make the same effort. But you like the particular product because it tastes better for you. The winning is the better taste. So we cut ourselves in to that without thinking, is it the right thing? It's the essence of it. We sit here, we go, why do I bitch and moan? I bitch and moan when an organization doesn't do the absolute best to satisfy their fan base by attempting to win.
Right.
So I can't now turn around and go, you know, it's not important. I want to be righteous. It's not important that DeSean Jackson plays for the Eagles. Because it is. And I'd be cutting off my nose despite my face as a fan. That doesn't make me swell with pride. It makes me weak. But we're weak as fans. We're weak. We need the winning to keep us going, to keep us going back, to keep us being invested in the team.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. People have been comparing it to Drew Brees, and people have been angry about hypocrisy with that. A lot of people were mad at Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody on the Saints, even the ones that were mad at him, suggested for a second cutting Drew Brees or him not being the quarterback because they think he can help them win. Even though they were mad at him, nobody said, well, that's not going to be my quarterback. They just said, I'm going to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I guess it's just, I know it's not just here in Philly, but I just feel like that's a line. I don't know what the line is.
I know, I hear you. And I want to know from people, like, what do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? I guarantee you, it was Joe Blow yesterday in yesterday's poll, and we'll get 40%.
No.
It was DeSean Jackson is the reason why we got 40%. We were outraged at the whole issue. There was 40% tells me there was outrage, but not to the extent where you wanted that guy suspended for a game.
Mike, do you think that, you know, now with the way that society is and the way that things are going, it's maybe not as good? Like, if the team did suspend him, would he have learned? And I think that's what everybody, I think, maybe that's why it was 40%, because it's like he's not going to learn anything or better himself as a human or better the team if we just suspend him, slap him on the wrist, and then maybe let him come back without actually taking any action to be better. So do you think that maybe that's the perspective now of the fans and maybe the organization?
I'll take you to an extreme.
Right.
You get convicted of a crime. Do they put you in a classroom and make you learn, or do they punish you by sending you to prison?
Right. No, I get it. I'm just saying perhaps that's kind of the thinking now. Whether it's right or wrong, I can't be the one.
It's pretty clear that DeSean Jackson is a needed player for the most followed team in town.
Right.
And so that shaped that poll yesterday. Now, I go back to the Riley Cooper thing, and I remember there was an awful lot of foolish support for him, but that was kind of like a backlash support. That was fellow racists trying to protect their own turf in that Riley Cooper thing. Now, this, what he said, is should be a suspension. It really should be. But the, like we talked about it yesterday, the Eagles tied themselves in the knot when the same ownership did not act with a suspension for Riley Cooper. So, and I'm sure that they discussed that for hours yesterday. They go, well, how can we not come off as hypocrites here? Well, let's spin it this way. You got public relations experts that they probably consulted. Spin it this way. Get them to meet with a rabbi. Give them some education. That'll satisfy the public. That'll satisfy Jewish people who really are interested in having him learn about the religion and why what he said was offensive. So that would satisfy almost everybody, and we can slide out here, and we can satisfy the majority of our fans by not suspending the guy that we need. It's like win-win-win they're thinking about.
Yeah, that does bother me. It bothers me that tack bothers me.
Yeah, I get it, but you know, like, all the discussion they were having yesterday, they would have come out and immediately suspended him. And yeah. they tried all day yesterday to figure out how to slide out of something like this.
Well, and he posted, what, three apologies?
Yeah.
He posted three separate apologies. It's like the first one wasn't good enough, then he did another one, and then finally the third one was I guess, good enough.
He made a terrible mistake of not getting some agent of his to craft a better apology the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking. I'm sure his agent, I got in touch with him and said, listen, dude, here's the way they handle this. This is what you have to say. And he went out and trusted himself, and it didn't come up. So, like, doing two other apologies makes him look worse, I think. But anyway, we'll talk about it. It is General Knowledge Wednesday. Today's prize, very interesting prize, a $100 gift card to Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse. Three listeners will get the $100 gift card to Nebraza Brazilian Steakhouse. So how do we do that? We'll stack our winners.
Yeah, we're going to have a big bowl of winners.
Okay.
And then we're going to draw it out of a hat. Three people will get them.
Sounds fantastic. Now, Nebraza and Iron Abbey up there in Warminster area, open for indoor and outdoor dining or curbside pickup. Complete details at Nebraza.com. I used to do a remote out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there plenty of times with this station.
Yeah. The Iron Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having the shepherd's pie up there.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Their food's good.
Irish pub action.
Yes.
All right. 610-622-0975. Here are our categories. The categories are general knowledge, fictional places in songs.
Ooh.
English words of Italian origin.
Interesting.
These are Italian words that we've adopted as part of our everyday English.
I'm excited for this one.
All right. Mm-hmm. And America is in the answer. The word America.
Nice.
Should be easy.
Yeah.
All right. Mike Misnelli Show. General Knowledge Wednesday. Back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:20 on the Mike Misnelli Show. And the 2 o'clock hour of the show is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. Equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. Start our Twitter poll for today. See if we can light it up like yesterday, Nat. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, it's Paul B. Moyer & Sons. They have it all. Their shops in Doylestown, PA. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. What do you got today?
All right, Mike, today's poll, are we hypocritical in the way we judge star athletes versus non-star athletes? 88% say yes, 12% say no.
Okay.
So everybody knows that.
Yeah, we know. Listen, we have a sliding scale. There's no question about it. We can't help ourselves. So the question is, do we feel guilty about it? I guess I feel a little guilty. You know, okay, because I look at other situations that aren't involved with me and my team, and I think it's abhorrent. You know, like the cheers for A-Rod and for Roger Clemens, and you know, anybody that comes back from any kind of a situation where they got suspended, they're immediately cheered. It's like we forget the offense. So we're weak.
We do it in music and movies too.
Yeah.
And I like, there's a lot of artists that I can't stand. But then when the album comes out, if it's good, I'm back in.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have done some bad things. Mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr., we all went to see Iron Man. Not you, Mike, but big hit. I mean, it was a huge hit. That guy got in a lot of trouble. He did a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, another Iron Man right to the theaters. Avengers is on. You know what I mean? So we do it in other facets, but it's just, I don't know.
Well,
I don't even look at like actors like they're human. Like I put them in like a pod category. Like the athletes, you kind of like can cut through the fat to get to the meat with an athlete, right?
I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know them more because we reported on them every day and we observe them every day.
Like, yeah.
The actor is like, all right, dude, you're just a spaceman. That's the way I look at actors.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Gene?
As an avid Eagles fan, I would be more embarrassed if Deshaun wasn't suspended, honestly. I want to see them win, but they can't just blow over this. And I'm afraid that perhaps now with what went on with this state senator, it's going to give the Eagles an out because she is, you know, blatantly a racist. There's no two ways around it. But because she's part owner of a WNBA team and a state senator, you know, she can pretty much get away with doing something like this. And it's abhorrent to me that, you know, in today's day and age, somebody can say or do something like that without any repercussion. It's sad.
Yeah, but again, here's what you're up against. Now, I appreciate your opinion. And yesterday, my first reaction was to say, yeah. Yeah, he should be cut. I said the same thing about Riley Cooper. I have no tolerance for that kind of thing. And Deshaun to me is not Carson Wentz. You know, like he is a 33-year-old wide receiver that you still don't know whether he's going to help you or not. So I got a little more leeway on my feeling about cutting somebody who says something like that. But here's the context of it. His intention was to prop up an African-American cause, right? And, exactly. And so other black people look at it the same way. So now you're running afoul of that in this climate, but then you're also a hypocrite because you didn't do it to a white player several years ago with Riley Cooper. So it's not as cut and dry for the guy who owns the team who has to make the decision.
And again, just for the record, I agreed with you too about Riley Cooper. I thought he should have been caught immediately. Again, it was an embarrassing thing as an Eagles fan to go through for them to do nothing about that. It was absolutely embarrassing. And Deshaun, yes, had it not been a Hitler quote and so insensitive, I get it. I know what his message was trying to be, but he should have thought about it more before he posted something like that.
No, there's no question about it. On its face, you're right. What I'm saying is, like, the owner's got to look at it a different way. So if he suspends Deshaun Jackson, there's going to be an amount of outrage they're going to have to deal with from a black populace who said, well, Riley Cooper, dude, why? and in this climate, that's hot music to face.
It's a tough decision, I'm sure, and I'm glad.
I think they've already made the decision. I really do. I think they've already made the decision that they're not going to suspend them.
That they're just going to do the
that they're going to go the education route and hope that appeases the people. And we'll see if it does or not, because again, Jeffrey Lurie has to answer also to he's a Jewish man, has to answer to Jewish fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, most of our front office is Jewish, like you said. So that all needs to be taken into consideration
as
well.
I got it. All right, let's start off general knowledge with you, Gene, today.
Okay.
This is the general knowledge category. Who implausibly turned back time by flying around the Earth really fast in a 1978 movie?
Superman.
That is correct. How many times have we wished that could happen?
Man, that'd be awesome.
Would that be, you know, if you had a superhero trait, would it be that?
It's top three.
Flying? Or turning back time?
The turning back time. That's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
It's top three? Yeah.
It's not one, though. What's one?
Flying. Yeah. Flying is
like Superman.
Yeah. Well, basically, you give me all of Superman's powers, and you basically get everybody's, but so I'm not trying not to cheat.
Yeah.
Superman is a coward, and that's why he's not a better superhero, because he can do anything he wants, but he does it like a coward.
So flying in the air gives you, that's the number one thing you want to do. How would that benefit you specifically?
Well, I'm assuming if I can fly fast. Mm-hmm. I never have to deal with traffic. It's almost like I have a helicopter.
Yeah.
To get places, only, like, I don't have to pay for gas or a pilot and worry about a crash. So.
You see, I have a similar one. It's not flying, though. It's transposing myself. It's like.
Like teleportation?
It's like going, I want to be here now. And
that's
I click
top
a
five.
Finger and,
that's
I,
awesome.
And I go there.
That's awesome. Because then you can live anywhere and work anywhere and do anything.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic one as well.
But the other thing would be invisible.
See, that's my number two.
See,
it's flying, invisibility, then time travel is third, and then teleportation is probably
third. What about being able to read other people's minds?
See, I don't want to be able to read people's minds. I want to be able to change people's minds.
Control
their minds. I don't care what you're thinking. I'm going to tell you what you're thinking. That is the one that
that's pretty good.
That is a good one.
I like the invisible part because then you dislike.
Yes.
You just like show up and smack them without getting any trouble.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. That's the dream.
Really is. Or like a girl broke up with you.
Go like
you just
show up on a date.
You smack the new guy.
Yeah.
Who did that? I can't believe she hit you like that.
Yeah. Rich in Lehigh Valley. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Rich?
Listen, I don't know what you think the Eagles should do with Sean, but if they let the guaranteed money they owe him next year affect their decision, I just kind of think that's wrong.
Well, but it's a factor. It's a high factor. You know that, right? They're not the bit like they would have done this Alshon Jeffrey thing shows you they don't want to just eat money.
Well, $4.8 million is like pulling out a $5 bill from Jeffrey Lurie's wallet, right?
Yeah, but they still don't want to eat money. You know, something like they signed him to a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal? 3-year deal.
3-year deal. He's making a lot of money these next couple years.
Well, that's what I mean. So you're accountable for that. That's definitely a factor. If you're running a business, it's a factor. Whether you try to ignore it or not, you know, and there are two factors. One is that's the position they needed to beef up. They need every help they can get at that position, right? The second thing is they signed to a 3-year deal.
Well, they need help at that position because they didn't draft right. And
they thought they drafted right. They drafted three guys.
They always think that every year.
Well, how do you know they're not any good?
Well, I want to give you another point.
Did
you see the Denzel Mims comment about Philly today?
I did not.
Well, you got to look at that.
It was last week, apparently. What did he say?
Oh, he said terrible things about Philly. He called. I don't know if I can say it on air.
He said it's a dirty ass, trash ass city.
Yeah,
is what he said.
So I guess the Eagles made the right choice.
I care what he said. What do you think he's going to say that about Philadelphia if he's playing for the Eagles?
Would you want that guy in your city?
Yeah, that's what I just asked you. You think he would say that about the city if the Eagles were giving him a paycheck?
No, I think he's bitter because they passed on him at
Okay, well, if the Eagles drafted him, he wouldn't be bitter. So, like, I don't know what your point is.
My point is that he's never played a snap in the
league. I get it, but you go, like, he wouldn't be an Eagle and say Philly is the dirty-ass, trash-ass city. So what do you care about? Why would you be glad you didn't draft him because he plays for another team and said that about Philadelphia? That means his heart wouldn't be in Philadelphia? His heart's wherever he's getting an NFL paycheck.
Yeah. There were people who got upset it didn't move me in any way, one way or the other.
Who cares what he says? Denzel Mims? Did he catch a pass yet?
No.
No. Who the hell is he?
He's from Baylor.
What's his motivation for? Was he asked something about?
I guess he said something about being intimidated or something before the pre-draft thing. I guess people brought up like, "Oh, you're scared of being in Philly." So, because this is another thing that happened while he's playing video games. So somebody Philly fans went at him first.
Yeah. Okay. So he scrapped with him by saying that.
Yeah.
He dug deep for something that he can insult Philly about
because
their fans are both.
Oh, you afraid to come to Philly? You're afraid, blah, blah, blah. So then he responds with Philly.
Right.
That's why he said it.
Right. But the notion that, well, we're glad we didn't get him. Well, come on, man. He's an Eagle. He's going to say, I love this city, man. I love it.
He'd be saying that about
fantastic.
New York.
Fantastic. Yeah.
He said you see a lot of people that look scary. He said, I had a bad experience, you could say, going up there that first time. I was very scared. Yes. I wasn't familiar with the city, and it was a lot going on.
That was the pre-draft thing.
Yeah.
And then fans were getting on him while he's playing video games on Twitch or whatever. And then he says that, whatever one he was using, and then he lashed out back at the people who were typing up the smart comments.
Who did he see that looked scary?
Hey,
listen, there's scary people in every city.
I know, but...
I salute. Let's see how it works out for you up there. With that team, of all teams... Barry in North Wales, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Barry.
Hey, Mike. Want to give my opinion briefly about Deshaun's issue.
Mm-hmm.
As a Jewish man, I've been thinking about this for the past few days, and I'm also a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and Natalie mentioned the key word earlier, which is education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, these days, too many times, we are so quick to want to suspend or cut an athlete or a celebrity, and I'd rather see a plan. I'm willing to give Deshaun a benefit of the doubt here and think that this is more ignorance than anti-Semitism, and what I'd like to see is a plan where he could take an online course about the Holocaust and then discuss it with a rabbi, something like that.
Well, I agree that that's a good method, but you know, like, I don't understand your comment. We're too quick to cut somebody. He did something that his ignorance is no excuse. His ignorance should be punished because he's not a 12-year-old. He's a 33-year-old guy, went to Cal Berkeley, has been around traveling the NFL for a lot of years, has a lot of money. So like a guy like that, his ignorance, I'm not going to say, well, that's just, they're not suspend him. He deserves a suspension for what he said.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So no, the lack of education to me is no excuse when you evoke the name of Hitler. You like that to me is not a lack of education. That's you should be above that fundamental part that you mentioned Hitler.
Mm. Yeah. I also tie it in real quick to you know, what's going on these days with all the statues. Some people want to take them down. Some people want to keep them. Mm-hmm. And you have to, people don't want to discuss. They don't want to educate themselves and, you know, just say, oh, this is why I want, I mean, it's just such a knee-jerk reaction. It ends up becoming a shouting match, and you start pointing fingers.
No, I see it as progress. I gotta be honest, Barry, I'm not agreeing with you on any of these issues. I see taking down blatant racists representing statues as progress.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I guess I'm talking more about the George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, well, that's a little finer line because you have to get a little deeper into that. But, you know, like, the ones that I'm talking about are the Confederate statues, the Columbus statue.
Yeah.
These are easy calls, in my view.
Yes, I agree with that. I should have mentioned I was talking more about the ones that are a closer line.
Okay. Let's give you a general knowledge question.
Okay.
Fictional places in songs.
Okay.
Where can you check out anytime, but you can never leave?
My favorite group, Hotel California.
That is correct. Hold on a second. Our first winner. So I was watching that ESPN has been running. You seen this? Chris Berman is involved in this?
Yeah.
What is that?
The concerts concert? They did yeah. at the Forum in L.A. in 2019.
Yeah.
Introduced by Chris Berman. I didn't even see him. I tuned in a little bit. Again, that's a group that's fragmented at this point for me.
Why?
There's only one member, isn't
Glenn Frey died. Well, yeah. Don Felder's not part of it. There's a new lead guitar player. Joe also didn't play lead guitar anymore. Vince Gill is stepping in for Glenn Frey. All right.
His son did a fantastic job.
Whose son?
What you call a son is performing.
Glenn Frey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did a fantastic job.
Doing what?
Playing guitar. He had to go. He even put the sunglasses on his head like his dad used to do.
He did? Well, yeah. I saw Vince Gill do the Glenn Frey song.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah.
I don't like Vince.
Vince Gill was playing the Glenn Frey role.
Okay.
But where's the ESPN connection to? I don't know what that's all about. Was Chris Berman involved with an ESPN production of the Eagles in 2019 at the Forum?
I mean, I guess.
Can somebody explain that to me?
No, I don't know. But I don't know why. But it got reaction. People enjoyed it.
Well, the Eagles they're a great band. They don't get me wrong. They sound really good. They still sound great. I just you know me in fragmented groups.
Yeah, you bail. Yeah. If anything happens to any member, you bail on the whole
important
group.
Members. You know, the Eagles were two guys, basically, and then a bunch of supporting dudes, and then Joe Walsh came, but he doesn't even play lead guitar anymore. He's playing rhythm guitar. I'm like, Joe, come on. Give me a little guitar.
Well,
you know,
they're I'm always split on the Eagles.
On the Eagles?
Because
they are your type of group.
They are a great band.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really just one person. My wife's cousin's husband, he decided that they're the greatest band to ever live. And I said a Steve-O about a like them, don't love them. And he has been very offended. And every time we have a function, back when we were allowed to have family functions, I got to hear about how I was wrong for saying the Eagles were, I liked them and didn't love them because everyone should love them. So he's tainted me.
Well, they're a little country folk rocky for you. Like, I don't know if that plugs into you. You're not a country folk rocky guy. Because I can see why you like them, don't love them.
Well, I feel the same way as Ty does. And I think it's just because they're, and I know that this is probably offensive to some people, but they don't like send me. When I hear the Eagles, I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, they have a lot of
It's middle ground, kind of that like flowy.
They also, Eagles fans get mad if your favorite Eagles song isn't the same. Like my favorite Eagles song is I Can't Tell You Why. I like that song.
I can't tell you why.
I think that's
Timothy B. Schmidt sings that song though, right? He was also a late Eagle.
That's my favorite. That came out in 1979.
That's the guy from Poco who sings that,
well,
I think.
That's my favorite Eagle. Eagles fans will say, no.
No, that's a great song.
To me, that's my favorite Eagles song.
That's a great ballad. And that doesn't even involve Frey or Henley, that song.
Well, I love that song. And you're not allowed to. You really, it's good, but you, like, Eagles fans insist upon too many things. I think they've turned me off some from the band.
Here it is. They have a lot of earworm songs that you hear. And then you'll repeat, and they stay in your head.
That's
Take
for
it
sure.
To the limit.
Yeah. See, now that's all. I saw the documentary when Frey was alive. Showtime had a documentary on the Eagles, and it was great because you saw the infights, and Glenn Frey was going to kick Don Felder's ass, as they're playing.
Oh, wow.
As they're playing the song, Frey is looking to his left, going to Don Felder, who's the lead guitar player. Just one more song, buddy, and I'll kick your ass. And it was hysterical. And so after the concert, they shot off stage, and Frey went looking for him, and the dude got in a limo and
peaced out.
Peaced out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the reason that it was on ESPN, so Chris Berman's an Eagles super fan.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, and I guess they were just looking to fill content.
Throw him a bone?
Yeah.
So where was he involved in it? Because this was old concerts,
so
right?
I'm looking at this video, and apparently there's Huey Lewis in the news with Chris Berman singing Take It Easy at some point. And then Berman says sports and music have been long at the top of the list for being able to bring people together. The Eagles have been doing just that for almost a half a century. We at ESPN thrilled beyond belief to share this premiere with everybody. So, I mean, I guess Berman was like...
So he was like the host of old video,
yeah,
basically.
Well, he was probably at that concert.
Yeah, he's on stage with them.
Yeah, so say, so he was there. and they had the footage.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
They had the footage, and they're a safe enough band to where they're...
What's ESPN doing with the footage? Like,
they probably obtained the footage. The Forum has been filming everything that they do there because they revitalized it. They do boxing there.
Uh-huh.
It's what I wish they would have done with the Spectrum.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Xfinity Live. I still want to have that.
Yeah.
And but I wish they refurbished the Forum and now they use it for different events that don't go into the Staples Center. I wish they had done that with the Spectrum and then had Xfinity Live next to it. But we didn't do that.
Right. The only other beef I have with the Eagles is them taking the number one spot from Thriller because it's a compilation album.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
And that still
Greatest
doesn't count.
It's the number one
album. It's essentially
album.
2 years since that happened, and I'm still not over it.
I agree with you.
Thank you.
All right. 610-632. I just thought it was bizarre. Chris Berman's involved with the Eagles on a production on ESPN.
He
tripped me out.
Favorite? I guess it's
super fan.
All right. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh yeah, 2:46. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Yeah, so we had some sound from Joel Embiid yesterday, and we were doing it in live time. Tyron was grabbing it from the live Zoom that he was doing, and so as we were doing the show, he came out like during that, and was talking about how he doesn't think it's going to be safe enough. And his quote is, the fact is, I don't like the idea. I still don't believe in it. And I don't think it's going to be safe enough. But it's not going to deter him because he's going to do the right things and all that kind of stuff. And Shake Milton said the same thing today. There's a story on Shake Milton. And he doesn't seem to be into it either. And they're like doing this like as kind of like mercenaries, you know? Like they're all not comfortable with it at all.
Yeah, too many players think other players aren't going to follow the bubble. It seems like the issue isn't the bubble concept. It seems like the players don't trust the other players to stay in the bubble. And that seems...
I wonder if you could, like, survey players, come up with a list of guys that they think are going to bust the bubble. Because if they think it's like it's not going to be me, but it's going to be other people. Like who are they thinking of exactly? What dudes are they thinking of?
I mean,
I wonder,
when they think of other teams that they mistrust.
You know, here's the other thing with the bubble. There's got to be guys that we know. I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe there's candidates on every team.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's candidates on every team.
I'm sure those guys have a list in their head.
Yeah, and the tough part about it is they're going back. There's there's a bunch of money on the line. They need to go back. I'm talking about as far as just dollars and cents. But it all messes up if they go back and somebody busts the bubble halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to getting sick. So it's going to take a lot of policing one another, but that's a tough thing to do.
It's interesting because they do have the snitch line. Do you think the snitch line will be used?
I think a guy like Joel would use the snitch line.
Yep.
Did you hear him? Yep. He sounds so... I'm not going to do anything. He's one of those guys that
wouldn't care. Like, a lot of guys would care to use the snitch line. Like, we had Josh Richardson on on Monday.
Josh Knuckleston.
Josh, I don't want anything to do with that, he said.
Yeah.
So, but a guy like Joel, you know what? Screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Especially if it's another big man. Even if he's not a good big man, just a big man or somebody he doesn't like.
Yeah.
He would definitely call on it. And then here's the question, though. If with let's say you get to the second round of the playoffs. So now you're down to 8 teams. But somebody's going to bust that bubble and possibly get people sick and blow the whole thing up. Would you snitch on a teammate to keep them inside to not bust the bubble?
That'd be tough. It'd be tough to do that.
But what happens? But if that guy leaves and brings the virus back, you lose the NBA Finals. You can't lose the NBA Finals.
It'll be interesting to see if that happens and whether they would time somebody out.
Because it's easy for, like, if they're playing the Heat to snitch on Jimmy Butler or Tyler Hero or Bam.
Yeah.
A lot harder if your teammate's like, oh, I'm about to go see this girl.
Yeah.
You call? Like,
look at the Sixers. The Sixers, like, I hate to do this, but, like, you have a feel for certain dudes that would want to push the envelope and go out. Nobody on the Sixers jumps out at me.
I kind of agree.
Yeah, I think the Sixers are going to be responsible. Just because, out of anything, they're just all scared to get it. I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's, you know,
It's sounding. Yeah, they're too afraid to get it that they're not going to risk it.
There's no renegades on this team.
No.
No.
These are all good guys.
I'm going to ask about a current guy. Let's say that this happened during the AI era.
Oh. Yeah.
Does AI stay in the bubble?
No way.
Well, I'm asking.
No way.
The first thing that AI would try to figure out is what?
Well, how to get the crew in the bubble?
Exactly.
Then he can play cards and do whatever.
Exactly
with the
right.
Crew.
He's got to do something to get the crew involved.
Hey,
goes to them or he tries, you know.
But then again, he could get the COVID test. He could pay for his own COVID test for the crew in the bubble and have the crew in the bubble.
Y'all got to quarantine for 14 days and we're going to Disney World.
What his biggest fear was that he never wanted to sell anybody who was in his crew out.
Right, he's super loyal all the way through.
So you're like, what? So now I got to stay in the bubble? I'm going to sell my crew out like they're on the outskirts? You know, they wouldn't fly with him.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Ben in Nazareth. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ben.
Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Ben?
I just wanted to throw out there huge props to the entire 97.5 The Fanatic crew. I mean, from top on down, there was nothing going on in sports, so let's be honest. And you guys made it happen, so props for that real quick.
Well, thank you, Ben.
Absolutely. So I'm glad you guys touched on the bubble a little bit. I was wondering, the first thing that came into my mind is we all know about the 6 foot, keep your distance rule and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does this lend it to a little bit more free shooting? You know what I mean? Like more perimeter, kind of loosely guarding, more triple digit games. What would you think about that?
No, they're not going to adhere to a 6 foot rule while they're playing on the court.
No. I mean, not an official rule, but, you know, kind of like you were saying, that guy might have went out last night. I don't know. Maybe we can give him a couple more feet, you know, like not closely guard him. It's a real type
No,
game.
If that
you
guy know, went out last night, he's not getting back on the court. They got security up the yin-yang. There'll be video of him.
That's true.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen. There's no way. Unless he's Andy Dufresne and he digs with a, you know, rock hammer and gets out, you know, that's not going to happen.
All right. I was just thinking maybe because I'm more of a fan personally of the 3-point shooting. I know that's not a big thing, but yeah, I mean, I grew up with Jordan and everything like that. But honestly, I like watching Steph Curry and do his thing. I'm obviously a Sixers fan, but you know, I mean, he's a marvel. But anyway,
let's look at it that way because it's an interesting point, right? If you know somebody went out and you're playing them the next day, there's no way you wouldn't alert anybody. There's no way you could play against that guy.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
hey, there's no way. You wouldn't, like, have him be on the court and stay away from him because you're not 6 feet away from him. That guy wouldn't be able to get on the court in a number of different ways.
All right. And do you think anyone using the snitch line, do you think there's going to be false snitches? Like, you know, kind of, you know, this guy's really on fire right now. Maybe we can kind of get him tested, get him out tonight. Like, I'm not, you know, just, you know.
So a fake snitch? It's the honor system, man. They wouldn't do that either.
All right.
You're wild, dude. All right, let me give you a general knowledge question. English words of Italian origin. So these are Italian words that we now have adopted in our everyday language. So let's go with barista. Oh, wait a minute. I gave you the word. Oh, damn it. I gave you the word. I should have gave you the definition. I screwed up. All right, let's go with this one here. Here's the definition. Sharp knife or high heel?
Oh, sharp knife or high heel. Oh, my gosh. The only thing I can think of is shoe. I mean,
It's an Italian word. It's an Italian word. Sharp knife or high heel, Natalie.
It's a stiletto.
Stiletto is correct.
My favorite.
I've seen that in movies.
What?
They have a guy with a stiletto.
Oh. I like to wear them on my feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had one.
You had one?
I had one. Yeah, I was younger.
Stiletto?
Yeah. Playing a game.
I did.
Young Mikey Mouse.
What'd you do with it? Did you carry it on you?
Yeah. I didn't carry it as a badass. I carried it because it was a show off type of thing. Right? You pushed the button.
Okay.
You know, I was gonna carve anybody up.
All right.
I had a comb like that as a kid.
I forget how I got it.
Yeah, it was a comb.
I got it from a bad kid. You know.
Yeah.
Oh man, you want this?
Yes.
Would you trade some baseball cards for it or something?
Nah, I don't think he wanted baseball cards. 3 o'clock hour. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.